You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
I remember Declan Kidney shouting in messages saying, Wally used to go number 8, I'm bus 7 and Dunica 6. I just kind of stayed at number 8 and ignored him.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Time to turn to Manchester United. Daniel Harris is with us. Daniel, there was a real sense of deja vu watching the team last night. It's hard to distinguish this team in some ways from as far back as the Van Gaal and Mourinho teams, but it certainly had a bang of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer off it last night. Is that just where Man United are at the moment until a new proper manager comes in with a long-term vision who has the full backing of a transfer window behind him?
You don't know, because we've obviously, as you say, we've been here before. It feels like there have been some improvements over the last few games. I felt with Rangnick that it didn't get better quickly enough. That was kind of troubling, the way it was still crap, really, like in the same way that it was rubbish under Ole for so long. But the last few games have been better. The second half of Brentford, some of the Villa game, the first half of the Villa game, the West Ham they played acceptably, and they played really well against Southampton, but lost. Not Southampton, sorry, against Bournemouth, but lost. And again, last night they were good. Good is probably actually a little bit strong, but they played acceptably in the first half. But what they lack is the ability to put down a 90-minute performance. I mean, the way that they played last night, a proper team, when Burnley equalises, go on and win by a couple of goals. And United, they just lack the little bit of quality and a little bit of cohesion. And you can blame some of it on the manager, but these players have got numerous managers sacked, and they should know what to do on a football pitch at this point, and they shouldn't need exactly telling. There are other issues in that they need a centre forward badly, and that they need to settle on a lineup so that players can settle, so and players can get used to playing with each other. So, for example, Jadon Sancho, probably United's best attacker last night. When he's had some opportunity to play for longer with some of the other players, they'll probably find him slightly easier to read, because, I mean, you're watching and you're never... The thing with Sancho is he's unpredictable in some ways. You're not quite sure what he's going to do because he's capable of so much. And so I feel like the players need to get onto his wavelength, which they aren't quite yet.
Is that a coaching issue? Like, if And not just about Sancho, but about the players around him who are told, okay, this is what Sancho does in these scenarios. These are the options that he is going to give you if you're running off the ball, and you need to spend time on the pitch with him. Because maybe we're expecting too much from Rangnick in that short period of time, given how it seems decimated the confidence of the squad was. But fundamentally, is it a coaching issue with Sancho that you can look forward with some positivity around that signing and think, there are signs of creativity? If somebody who knows what they're doing is on the coaching pitch with the rest of the players, they'll begin to understand what he's trying to do.
I don't know if it's entirely a coaching issue, just because I guess in the first instance, the coaching probably is focused on not allowing opponents to swan down the middle of the pitch and tossing goals in every 5 seconds, and much more basic stuff like defending and running, and which is also has improved. Like, one thing I would say about last night, the quality wasn't there, but it felt like they put a lot into the game, the players, which wasn't happening previously. They've probably, I imagine they've also done a lot of work on shape, much more so than the kind of runs that you make to particular players, which I guess comes slightly later. But one of the things that I guess is partly a coaching issue, or at least like a management issue, is to me, it doesn't seem like, first of all, Ronaldo needs to either decide what player he's going to be or what kind of centre forward he's going to be, or be told. Is he someone who comes short for the ball and uses and holds it up and touches off and lets the runners go past him? Or is he going to be someone who stays in the penalty area between the widths of the posts? To me, it's got to be that. And at the moment, he's sort of, when he plays, he's trying to do a bit of both and not doing either successfully. Because he ultimately he doesn't have the legs anymore to, when he's one-on-one with the last defender, he's not going to go by because he just doesn't have the legs anymore. So he needs to decide, is he going to, where's he going to be? And to me, I don't think that he's not Teddy Sheringham. His ability to play that Teddy Sheringham kind of role isn't quite there, particularly if you think that usually someone who plays that position or has played it, plays it with a partner. So he has to play within the width of the posts. And then for that to happen, I feel like he needs to have the correct service, which to me means you have to have Sancho on the right and Rashford on the left. Rashford on the right is not really any kind of goal threat. And Sancho on the right is a really good crosser of the ball and has the ability to go inside and outside. Or at least he wants, and he generally wants to move towards goal, but because he'd be on his stronger foot, there's a proper threat he's going to go on the outside. Whereas with Rashford, previously, the partnership that Rashford, Shaw and Bruno had down the left was one of the better things about this team. And that's completely gone. And Rashford's now been shunted over to another position where he's not playing that well, but the best football that Rashford has ever played has been off the left. He's been a goal threat for United. He's been a threat, someone who can create a goal, someone who can score a goal, probably United's most reliable big game player in the last few seasons. So I don't really understand why he's playing down the right in the way that he is, and Sancho's playing on the left. So I think that switch would probably give you that partnership back. It would also mean that Ronaldo had much better opportunity to get some, and Cavani, whoever's playing, some crosses to the front post. But ultimately, United have got to buy a centre forward this summer now.
Is the Sancho-Shaw relationship not actually working pretty well?
It could be okay, but I think Sancho could do more on the right than Rashford can. I mean, Sancho is a really intelligent player, and him and Shaw linked up really well in the Borough game actually. But I think that his threat on the outside will help stretch the player if he's playing on the right, and also his crossing is good. And you've got two strikers that want to attack the near post. And previously, I guess it was tenable to have Cavani and Ronaldo playing centre forward, two old men, because it felt like you were nurturing someone who was going to take over, which obviously doesn't look like it's going to happen now. One of the footballing upshots of that is it was very clear that you look at United and they need a midfield player like a number six. If Pogba leaves, they need another one, unless Hannibal was able to step in and be that player. But you watch them now and they're desperate for a centre forward, someone who knows where the goal is, someone who knows how to score, someone who's able to create goals for themselves, someone who's able to be a 90-minute threat. And neither Ronaldo nor Cavani are that. And Cavani, unfortunately, this season, when he's been available almost all of the time, has been absolutely useless.
And on that, in the short term, it'll be interesting to see what Ranić does in terms of his team selection, because in kind of before the game yesterday when speaking to television, he said today it'll require a lot of sprinting, chasing balls, a lot of fight for second balls. So this best fits the profile for Edinson Cavani, which is why he starts today. I know you said that he's been rubbish when he's played this season, but if Ranić reckons that he's better at sprinting, chasing balls, I mean, that's probably going to be a requirement for a lot of Premier League games over the next little while. So what does he do in the short term in terms of that team selection at number nine?
Well, on that point, I would say one thing about Ranić, because he seems to have the number of all of these. And slowly but carefully and methodically, he is picking them apart. If you look at the players that he's called out in interviews, he hasn't even called them out. It's been totally dispassionate. He said Cavani's in Uruguay, Martial didn't want to play, Lingard doesn't want to play. And he's doing it in such a dispassionate way. He has no axe to grind. It doesn't seem, there's no anger. There's no, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. There's none of that. There's just very precise, this is what I'm finding and this is what I'm telling you is the case. And that is actually quite warming and quite welcoming. And yeah, he's on to Ronaldo. Of course he is. I mean, we can all watch Ronaldo and see. And that said, signing Ronaldo even more so now, I don't think was a mistake, even though we can all see his limitations. I think the only thing that would be the case if United hadn't signed Ronaldo would be, as well as being nowhere in the league and out the FA Cup, they'd also be out of Europe. So ultimately, signing Ronaldo has worked out in that sense that if they hadn't signed him, they would also be out of the Champions League now, and they're not. But he's on to Ronaldo. I mean, he can't give Ranić what he wants for a centre forward And the goals have also disappeared. So in that circumstance, what is he giving you? Almost nothing. And unfortunately, that's also the case with Cavani at the moment. And there's no real way around that. I mean, the team around them can play better, I suppose.
Is there then a case that actually Ranić is doing a job here that will, in the long run, be very important, where a genuine, dispassionate assessment is being made of every individual squad member, as opposed to some kind of, oh, he's a good fella, you know, he's great around the place, or he has a legacy here, or I know this person, which seemed to kind of be a little bit at the heart of the recruitment and certainly the keeping everybody around and keeping everybody happy. That, like, the squad is massively bloated, and if somebody comes in and goes, this guy has to go, 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 then at least there is no opportunity blockers for the younger players. You get to see what they are, and you also diagnose correctly what the needs of the squad are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is when you watch a team and you think, well, nothing is working, you try with the senior players, it is very, you just kind of think, well, why not give the younger players a go? So on that point, I was kind of slightly disappointed that Hannibal wasn't on the bench last night, and that in what circumstance are you really going to need Mata here, who is someone who has absolutely no future at United? It's absolutely astonishing that he's still even there. So you do want to see that, and I'm absolutely certain he fancies himself a centre-back as well, because we're just watching how Harry Maguire is playing, and the season that he has put down is absolutely untenable for someone who not only plays at the back for Manchester United, but is the captain. And I think that you're right in that Rangnick is just identifying all of those areas. Ultimately, the decisions will be made by whoever the next manager is, but he'll be involved in that too. But yeah, I mean, he is doing some kind of clearing job. And one of the various things that cost Ole his job in the end, apart from just performances, if you look at his signings, and I mean, if you look at all the signings post Fergie, probably Bruno Fernandes is the only one that has worked exactly in the way that you would want it to. We're talking about this in the car on the way to the game yesterday, actually. Zlatan, we kind of gave a sort of a 7 out of 10 to, because he was better than what you had, but not good enough. But none of the other buys have been good enough. So it's all very well. I mean, you kind of sit there thinking, well, this is what needs to be done. And Rangnick is absolutely identifying the players, I think, that can't go forward with the club, and just getting it done in a way that Ole, for whatever reason, felt like he didn't want to do it, perhaps because he thought that if he'd have got rid of all the players that needed to go last summer, he didn't trust the club to give him replacements, so he preferred to have someone rather than no one, as Smith's once said. But Rangnick isn't doing that. He's picking them off one by one. And the question now is obviously whether they pick the right manager and pick the right players to come and replace them. I mean, we read the other day that they're going to look at 7,000 midfield players, but you just know that this they're going to come back with is Declan Rice, Calvin Phillips, and that Haidara who plays for Leipzig. It's just, you don't have any faith that their methods are particularly good. The question is whether the next manager will be able to assimilate the players that he's given and whether he'll be given the players that he needs. And you don't really want to sit here and say, well, just you need to go and buy this, 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 and this. So, because that process hasn't worked before, what you hope now is that there's more of an overarching strategy so that whoever comes in isn't going to think, well, the kind of way that he wants to play is very different from the kind of way that Ole wanted to play, because in theory he couldn't execute it. Ole wanted to play fast, dynamic, attacking football. The question, like, so that the next manager you think is going to be someone who's going to be able to do that, but he needs to be able to get it out of these players, and these players need to be able to get it out themselves, because if you think about it, they've all been managed by several managers now, and none of them have managed to do what is necessary for long enough for it to work. So you hope that Rangnick is identifying everything that needs to change, but then affecting that change is a very different thing. I mean, we could all watch United and say all the things that are wrong.
The players might not be good enough, though. That's the fundamental thing that maybe with Mourinho tried it, Van Gaal tried it. Okay, there's different squads, but like the quality of player hasn't vastly improved to the point where, and I'm not talking about good enough to qualify for the Champions League. I'm talking about to mount a sustained title challenge season after season, that the core of that team at the moment is not good enough.
No, that's right. And that's why, again, like you think, well, it's a big summer to get the players right, and it is. And you have no idea whether that's going to happen. I mean, as I'm absolutely certain we've chortled before, United were, at the end of last season, United were at that stage where they were the kind of status of team they were was could be anyone on a good day. And they somehow added Varane, Sancho and Ronaldo to that and got worse. And at that point, you start to wonder exactly if Alex Ferguson signed some kind of deal with the devil, that United would be amazing all the time that he was there, and then he would just have to accept that they'd be dreadful the second that he left, which I guess was ultimately a deal that most United supporters would probably have signed up for. But there's just like a feeling about the club that of things not being right, just that it's all a little bit rotten and a little bit off. And how you change that, I don't know, because it's a kind of pervasive mentality, isn't it? That it's not just that the players really believe. And that means that the person that comes in needs to be someone with that kind of consuming personality who's able to change the mood of everything. And the way that Jurgen Klopp did at Liverpool, and ultimately, of all the things that didn't happen in the post-Fergie wilderness years, TM, not getting Jurgen Klopp when they got Van Gaal instead was a phenomenal oversight. And maybe Jurgen Klopp just didn't want to leave Dortmund, but I mean, the story goes, obviously, that Woodward started talking about Disneyland for adults and he thought that they were going to be talking about football. Said, absolutely not a chance. And obviously, then happened to be available when Liverpool needed a manager, and now look. But the question about who is that next person? Because obviously the two best managers around are Klopp and Guardiola. They happen to be managing United's rivals and they happen to be managing in the same league, which is obviously problematic. So who do you get who's able to compete with them? And Pochettino is the obvious choice. But with Pochettino, you can make excuses for why it hasn't worked for him in Paris. But nagging at the back of your mind is they got Mourinho when his best days had gone. When he was kind of over that initial enthusiasm. Have we seen the best of Pochettino? Not sure. And also, he's good, but is he good enough to beat Klopp or Guardiola? Also not sure. Ten Hag, I get, will be the other main candidate. Does Erik ten Hag have the personality to come in and dominate Old Trafford? Because if you look at the people that have succeeded at United, really, Matt Busby, Tommy Doherty, Alex Ferguson, even Ron Atkinson, who won a couple of the Cups and looked like he might sustain a title challenge, they all had that consuming personality in some way that was able to dominate the club in some way. And the person who's able to do that is a rare person. I don't know if Erik ten Hag is that guy. Is he someone who'd be able to come in and do that? So the next decision is obviously a massive decision. I have more faith in the people making it than I did previously, because Rangnick knows about football and Darren Fletcher knows about football, so at least there are people that know something of football making those decisions. But whether they're making those decisions, whether they then pick the right person, whether the right person who can turn United into title challengers even exists. Because in order to win that title, you've got to get a lot of points. Thomas Tuchel hasn't been able to do it with Chelsea because of what it takes. I mean, Jurgen Klopp hasn't been able to do it with Liverpool this season. Like the bar of consistency in the Premier League now is very high. So whoever does it, whoever's able to do it, like, the person might not even exist, but they obviously do need to make that right decision. And there is more in these players than these players are giving, but they also need to find it within themselves to give it. They can't just rely on themselves being agitated by some motivational genius like Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. If you're making that point there that football people will be making this decision, from what you've learned about Ralf Rangnick over the last couple of months, can you guess what sort of manager he would go for? Like, you've listed off the managers maybe that you'd like to see there, but what sort of guy is Rangnick likely to be interested in as manager for Manchester United, because he's going to be part of this decision?
There was a story in Bild a few weeks ago that he was asking for Amadou Haidara in the transfer window, and the board said no, because the next manager won't want him. So Rangnick said, well, okay, make the next manager Ten Hag, and I know that he'll want this player. Don't know if that's true. And obviously the board then said, well, we're not sure if it's going to be Ten Hag. That sounds true in all aspects, that he would want Ten Hag, that the board would try and deny him the player because of the next manager, even though they've been busy offering Paul Pogba new contracts for however long. And it's hard to know how that one quite works out logically. But it just, all of that sounds believable. He's going to want someone. It will be who's going to play fast, attacking, pressure-driven football with pressing from the front. And the two managers are Pochettino and Ten Hag. I mean, Ruben Amorim, the Sporting's meant to be good. Seems unlikely they're taking a chance on him. The other person who it would never be, but who I find extremely impressive, is Ange Postecoglou, Celtic, who has turned that club around and got them literally just gone, picked three or four players who now the best players in Scotland, and completely revolutionised the way that Celtic are playing. But it won't be those people.
Well, when you were talking about Sancho and everybody not knowing what to do, I was thinking back to, was it the second goal in the Old Firm the other night, where everybody knew exactly what everybody else was going to do, and it looked like it was pre-programmed because there was deep understanding, and it looked like they had conditioned themselves to do this. Like, not almost a set play, but not quite, but at least everybody understood there is a specific role, and then there are options when you have possession, which doesn't feel like that's coming through at United at the moment.
No, it's not, and I don't know why that is. It could just be that, yeah, that the coaching isn't good enough. It could also be that the players are so set in their ways of doing what they fancy that it's taking something to shake them out of a torpor. I mean, if you think about a lot of these players, they've played for so many managers, they've never really put it together, and it's hard to go from doing the wrong things to doing the right things. And I'm pretty sure that's something that Rangnick is noticing about these players. Whereas with the players that Postecoglou brought in, we've brought new players in, and those players were, I guess, more reliant on the manager than United ones were, because the United ones think, well, there'll be another one along in a minute.
And they're right.
They're right because this guy's literally not permanent, and they're right because they keep getting new managers as well, so they're not beholden to the manager in the same way the Celtic players are like, well, we better listen because otherwise we're going to lose titles again. And as I said, Ange Postecoglou is not going to be the next manager of United, but he's someone that stands out as someone who appears to have the tactical smarts and the personality to come in and do that. Because you think also, he went into Celtic and people were like, who the hell's this guy? No one knew who he was. And within a very, very short period of time, you've got people involved with Celtic and people like me looking from the outside thinking, this guy knows something. This guy's got that consumptive personality that Ralph Rangnick doesn't really have it, in terms of that he's a details guy. He seems to be a details guy. He's not an inspirational guy particularly. Certainly, that's the results on the pitch don't look like there's very much inspiring going on behind the scenes.
No. Daniel, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
See you again.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.